Okay, let's jump right in. Today we're doing a deep dive into anxiety, really understanding it, and maybe more importantly, managing it.
That's right. We're leaning heavily on Dr. Andrea Kuhlberg's work here. The aim is pretty practical. Help you quickly spot anxiety, know what it isn't, and get some solid coping tools.
Tools you can use, like, right away. So, starting point. What is anxiety at its core?
The simplest definition, and it's powerful, is anticipation of future threat. It's all about the thoughts running through your head and the sensations in your body concerning what might happen down the road.
Right, the might happen, not what is happening. I think that's where people get tangled up with fear or even stress.
Exactly. That distinction is vital. Fear is your alarm system for right now. Real present danger. Think bear in the room.
Okay, immediate threat. Got it.
Anxiety, though, is that what if spiral. What if I fail the test? What if I have a panic attack in the meeting? It's focused on possible future stuff.
And stress, how does that fit in, or rather not fit in?
Stress is typically a reaction to real-life pressures piling up. You know, losing a job, moving house, financial worries, those external events building up. Anxiety can absolutely show up without any obvious external trigger.
Interesting. So even when things seem fine on the surface.
Yeah. It's more internal anticipatory worry.
Yeah.
But here's the really crucial takeaway from the sources, the one thing to hold on to.
What's that?
Anxiety feels awful, no question. But it is never dangerous, only uncomfortable. And importantly, it's the most treatable mental health issue out there.
Okay, never dangerous. That's huge. Because honestly, the physical feelings feel dangerous, like your heart's pounding out of your chest or you feel totally detached, unreal.
Right.
Maybe even sick to your stomach.
That's the panic piece. Panic isn't the sensations themselves. Those are just normal, heightened body responses like adrenaline. Panic is the story you tell yourself about
them. The story.
Yeah, the catastrophic interpretation. Heart racing becomes I'm having a heart attack. Feeling unreal becomes I'm going crazy. That interpretation is the panic.
Yeah. Ah, okay. So the feeling itself isn't the enemy. It's the meaning we give it.
Precisely. And remembering this helps. Anxiety always follows a curve.
Yeah.
It builds, it peaks, and it always comes back down. Always temporary.
But if it always goes down, why do people feel so stuck? What keeps them locked in that cycle, trying desperately to avoid the peak?
The safety behaviors. These are the things people do to try and control the anxiety, but they actually end up feeding it. It creates this sort of illusion of safety.
Okay, what are they?
Three big ones. First, avoidance. Just staying away from anything that might trigger the feeling. Skipping the party, avoiding that presentation.
Makes sense, intuitively.
Seems logical, right? Second, reassurance seeking. Constantly asking, am I okay? Is this normal? Are you sure it's not serious? Looking for guarantees that don't really exist.
Yeah, okay. And the third?
Compulsions or rituals. Repeating certain actions or thoughts to try and neutralize the anxiety or prevent something bad from happening. Tapping, checking, specific routines.
So these things feel like they're helping in the moment.
They provide temporary relief, maybe. But the sources are really clear on this, almost like a warning.
Which is?
Any efforts to make anxiety go away, corrode it. Every time you avoid or seek reassurance, you're teaching your brain that the situation was dangerous, and you only survived because you did that safety behavior.
Wow. So trying to escape it actually traps you, makes your world smaller.
Exactly. You end up living in this shrinking box defined by what you have to avoid.
Okay, so fighting it is counterproductive. We need a different approach, something more flexible, like bending instead of breaking.
That's the perfect analogy. Dr. Kuhlberg calls it palm tree coping. Think about a palm tree in a hurricane. It bends, it sways, but it doesn't snap.
So how do we become more like a palm tree?
It's about responding flexibly, patiently knowing the feeling will pass, and confidently trusting you can handle it. A big part of this is learning to embrace uncertainty.
Uncertainty. That's tough. That's where the reassurance seeking comes from, right? Wanting guarantees.
Totally. So instead of demanding certainty, you practice accepting ambiguity. You learn to say things to yourself like, maybe this will happen, maybe it won't, we can't be sure. Or simply, there are no guarantees.
Okay, accepting maybe. And what about when it really hits hard, like full-blown panic? Are there quick steps?
Yes. Three clear, actionable steps. Remember, more, maybe, move.
More, maybe, move. Okay, break that down. More.
More means you actually invite the anxiety to get stronger. Sounds crazy, I know. But you say, okay, anxiety, bring it on. Show me what you've got. You lean into the feeling, paradoxically.
Wow. Okay. Defiant.
Yeah.
Then maybe.
Maybe is that uncertainty piece again. You actively, and you don't know the outcome for sure. Maybe I'll feel off for a bit, maybe not. I accept the uncertainty.
Right, letting go of the need for control and move.
Move means you don't flee. Mm-hmm. You stay in the situation or you continue doing whatever you were doing. You proceed anyway, even with the anxiety there. I feel anxious and I'm still going to finish this email.
Mm.
Stay at this party, give this talk.
More? Maybe? Move. That's really practical. Okay, shifting gears slightly. How can we use these ideas to help someone else who's anxious? Like a friend or your kid? Emotion coaching.
Yeah, emotion coaching is essentially feeling with someone. It's about co-regulating their emotion, moving towards it with them so it can complete its natural cycle instead of just telling them to calm down or dismiss it.
Which usually doesn't work anyway.
Rarely. So there are four steps to emotion coaching. First, you mirror their complaint, match their intensity a bit, show you hear the distress.
Okay, reflect it back.
Second, validate their experience. Wow, that sounds really scary. Or it makes sense you feel that way, given X. Show them their feelings aren't crazy.
You make sense. Powerful words.
Very. Third, empathize. Connect with the feeling. I can imagine how tough that must feel. Normalize it. And fourth, gently help them do it anyway. Encourage them to face the thing, maybe with your support rather than avoid it.
Mirror, validate, empathize, do anyway. Got it. So wrapping this up, if you, the listener, take one big thing away today, what should it be?
I think it's this fundamental shift. Realizing anxiety isn't a signal of real present danger like fear is. It's an uncomfortable anticipation. And managing it isn't about eliminating the feeling, but changing your response to it, leaning into the uncertainty instead of chasing that impossible guarantee of safety.
It reminds me of that final thought we pulled, the surfer analogy.
Exactly. A surfer doesn't try to stop the wave. They learn to ride it. The goal isn't to avoid the intensity of anxiety, but to ride that wave confidently, knowing it's designed to peak and pass.
Yeah.
Trusting you can handle the ride. That changes everything.